All right, let's dive into some really cool stuff today.
Oh, I like cool stuff.
This study you gave us on Swedish forests, it's not just a walk in the woods.
No, not at all.
We're talking a whole century of data
100 years.
on how tree populations have changed.
Incredible, right?
All thanks to something called the Swedish National Forest Inventory.
Yes, the Swedish National Forest Inventory.
Is that how you say it?
You got it.
All right, so the Swedish National Forest Inventory.
Or NFI for short.
Gotcha.
It's a treasure trove of information.
Okay, so break it down for me.
Basically, they've been keeping tabs on the trees since the 1920s.
Seriously.
Like a detailed census, but for trees.
Wow.
Imagine all the stories these trees could tell.
100 years of tree data.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
It's like having a time machine to
Yeah.
see how the forests have changed.
Over generations.
Exactly. So,
Yeah.
what's the most surprising thing they found?
Well, the amount of wood in Sweden has more than doubled since the 1920s.
Whoa.
That's a lot of wood.
That's a lot of trees.
It is.
So is Sweden like special or is this happening everywhere?
It's definitely a trend we see in many forests around the world,
Okay.
particularly in boreal and temperate regions.
Gotcha.
But what's really interesting is that
Yeah.
this growth isn't just happening randomly.
So there's a reason.
Swedish forest policy has played a big role,
Oh, so they're actually managing it.
very much so,
Okay.
with a clear focus on restoring and managing the forests for timber production.
So it's not as simple as, oh, let's just plant more trees.
No, it's much more deliberate than that.
It's about managing them to maximize growth.
Precisely.
That's really interesting.
And of course, there are other factors at play too.
Like what?
Well, things like rising CO2 levels and climate change could also be contributing to this growth.
That makes sense.
But the data doesn't give us a clear picture of how much each factor is responsible for.
So we don't know for sure.
Not yet.
Okay, so we've got this massive increase in timber.
Huge increase.
But this is where things get really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The study takes us through different periods of Swedish forest policy
Oh.
and how each one impacted the trees.
Fascinating.
It's like a forest timeline,
I like that.
showing how human decisions have shaped the landscape.
I'm ready to time travel.
Me too.
Not
So
cool.
let's start at the beginning.
Let's do it.
So back in 1926
Okay.
to 1957, what was going on then?
So from 1926 to 1957, the main approach was selective harvesting.
Selective harvesting.
Basically, they would choose the best trees and leave the rest.
Take the best, leave the rest.
Exactly.
Interesting.
They called it high grading.
High
The
grade.
thinking back then was that this would help the forests regenerate naturally.
Oh, okay.
And it was certainly the most economically efficient way to do things.
Makes sense.
Get the most valuable timber out with the least amount of effort.
Makes sense. But then World War II happened, right?
Yes, World War II.
That must mess things up.
Definitely threw a wrench in the works.
How so?
Well, suddenly there was a huge demand for firewood.
Oh, right, because of shortages.
Exactly. Coal and oil were scarce.
And people needed to heat their homes.
Absolutely, especially in southern Sweden. People turned to their forests for fuel.
Wow. So they were just cutting down trees for firewood.
It was a matter of survival.
And that must have had a big impact on the forests.
It did, and we can still see that impact in the data today.
Really?
There's a noticeable dip in the number of deciduous trees.
Deciduous trees, so like oaks and maples and stuff.
Exactly.
I guess this would have been good for firewood.
Likely the go-to source.
That's incredible.
It is, isn't it?
It shows how even forests are connected to these global events.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of everything.
Totally. So after the war, things went back to normal, right?
Well, not quite.
Oh.
From 1957 to 1987, there was another big shift.
Okay. What happened then?
Clear-cutting became the dominant
Oh.
approach.
Clear cutting.
Instead of selectively harvesting trees, they started clearing entire sections of forest
Whoa, really?
and then replanting them.
So, like wiping the slate clean and starting over?
In a sense, yes.
Wow, that's intense.
Imagine the visual transformation,
Yeah.
going from these diverse, mature forests to these uniform stands of young trees.
It sounds like a pretty drastic change.
It was a significant shift in forest management philosophy.
So, what was the thinking behind this new approach?
It was all about maximizing timber production.
Gotcha.
Post-war investments in forestry led to a real push for efficiency and higher yields.
So they wanted to grow as much wood as possible, as fast as possible.
Essentially, yes.
And I guess clear cutting would do that.
It's a very efficient way to harvest timber.
But what about the impact on the forest itself?
Well, we'll get into that in a bit.
Okay, tease it for me.
Let's just say there are some unintended consequences.
Ooh, I'm intrigued.
But first, let's talk about how this shift to clear-cutting shows up in the data.
Okay, tell me.
Well, we see a surge in younger trees.
Mm-hmm.
And a noticeable increase in the average size of trees at a given age.
So the forests were getting younger, but the trees were growing faster.
Exactly.
All thanks to clear-cutting.
It's a direct result of this new approach to management.
Okay, so are we talking about a forest full of baby trees at this point?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
While the average age of trees did decrease, clear-cutting would still leave behind a mix of tree ages and sizes.
Oh, so it wasn't like starting from scratch every time?
No, there were still some older trees present.
Okay.
But overall, the forest was shifting towards a younger age profile.
Gotcha. So we've got selective harvesting and then clear-cutting.
Two distinct eras of forest management.
Both driven by this demand for timber.
It was a time of rapid economic growth.
Yeah, and I guess nobody was really thinking about the environmental impact back then.
Well, that's where things start to get really interesting.
Yeah.
Because in the late 1980s, concerns about biodiversity start to gain traction.
So people started realizing that maybe clear-cutting wasn't so great for the environment.
There was a growing awareness of the unintended consequences.
Like what?
Well, managing forests solely for timber production was having negative impacts on the overall health and diversity of the forests.
So it was a bit of a wake-up call?
You could say that.
So what happened? Did they change course?
They did. And that's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Stay tuned.
I'm hooked already.
I knew you would be.
So this idea of forest darkening, it's kind of weird, right?
It is a bit counterintuitive.
Yeah, like more trees equals good, right?
You'd think so.
That's what we always hear.
Right. Plant more trees.
But now you're telling me it's not that simple.
Well, it's more nuanced than that.
Okay, help me understand.
So we know forests are important for absorbing CO2.
Yeah, for climate change.
Exactly. But this study makes us think about more than just the amount of wood.
Okay.
It's about the whole forest ecosystem.
The bigger picture.
Right, like how healthy and diverse it is.
So how does forest darkening play into all this?
Okay, imagine you're a little wildflower trying to grow on the forest floor.
Oh.
But the trees above you are getting bigger and blocking the sunlight.
Oh, no, poor little flower.
It's tough for them to survive.
That's sad.
Not all plants can handle the shade.
I guess some plants need a lot of sun.
They do. And when they can't get enough, they struggle to grow.
And that affects everything else, right?
Exactly. It's all connected.
The bugs, the birds, everything.
The whole food web.
Wow. So it's like a chain reaction.
You can say that.
Less sun, fewer plants, fewer animals.
The study's authors found less plant and animal life on the forest floor in denser forests.
Oh, wow.
Less sunlight means less food and shelter for lots of creatures.
It's like the whole foundation of the forest is weaker.
And that can make the forest more vulnerable.
Vulnerable to what?
To things like diseases.
Oh.
Or even climate change.
I see, because a healthy forest can bounce back better.
Right. A diverse forest is a more resilient forest.
So this makes me think about the whole old growth forest versus managed forest debate.
Ah, yes. That's a big one.
Like, which is better for the environment?
Well, this study shows that even managed forests,
the ones we use for timber,
right, they can still have a lot of wood and big old trees.
So they can be like old growth forests.
In some ways, yes.
So does that mean managed forests are just as good for biodiversity?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
This study doesn't really answer that.
Okay.
But it does suggest that certain ways of managing forests, like retention forestry.
Retention forestry. Remind me what that is.
It's where they leave some trees behind when they harvest.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Can help reduce some of the negative impacts of denser forests.
Because it lets more sunlight through.
Exactly. It creates more open spaces and variety in the forest structure.
And that's good for biodiversity.
It is. It creates more types of habitats for different species.
So it's about finding a balance.
Always about balance.
Between getting wood and keeping the forest healthy.
Exactly.
So it's not just about how much wood we can get.
No.
It's about what kind of forest we want.
That's the bigger question.
A forest just for timber or a forest for everything?
That's a big decision.
And a lot of different people have different opinions.
They do.
About what's important.
It's about values.
Yeah, like what we prioritize.
The changes in Swedish forest policy.
The ones we talked about before show how people's views on the environment have changed.
It's an ongoing conversation.
Always evolving.
As we learn more about forests.
So even though this study is about Sweden, There are lessons for everyone, right?
Absolutely, these challenges.
Balancing timber and biodiversity and everything else.
They're not unique to Sweden.
It's something we all face.
This study gives us valuable information.
To make better decisions about our forests.
For the future.
I'm already thinking about the forests near me.
Me too.
And how this research could apply.
It's fascinating stuff.
It really is. And speaking of fascinating, there's one more thing I want to talk about.
Okay, what's that?
It's about those protected areas.
The ones where they're not supposed to cut down trees?
Yeah, and remember how we said timber volume increased everywhere?
Even in those protected areas?
Yeah.
It was a bit surprising.
It doesn't make sense, right?
Not at first glance.
You'd think those areas would just be left alone.
To grow naturally.
But timber volume in protected areas has tripled since the 1920s.
Wow.
So what's going on?
That's the million-dollar question.
Are these protected areas actually working?
And is all this growth actually good for conservation?
We need answers.
We do. And that's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
This is getting good.
The plot thickens.
Stay tuned, everyone, because we're about to get into some uncharted territory. All right, last part of our deep dive into these Swedish forests.
The grand finale.
And we're tackling this mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Timber volume tripling in protected areas. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it does make you think.
Like, what are we even protecting?
Right. What's the point if the trees are just going to keep growing like crazy?
Makes you wonder.
This data really challenges our ideas about protected areas.
How so?
Well, we tend to think of them as pristine wilderness.
Yeah, untouched by humans.
But a lot of these areas have a history.
Oh, you mean like they were used for something before?
Yeah, maybe logging or farming or something.
So they weren't always untouched.
Not necessarily.
And that history can explain why we see so much growth now.
Mm-hmm. The study suggests that some of these areas were more open in the past.
Really? More open?
Maybe because of fires or grazing animals.
Oh, that makes sense.
Or even because people were using them for something.
So the forests we see today in those protected areas, they might not be the natural state.
It's possible.
Like maybe those dense forests aren't what's supposed to be there.
It raises some questions.
Like, what are we trying to protect?
Are we preserving a moment in time?
Or are we aiming for something more dynamic?
Something that changes and evolves naturally.
That's a tough one.
And this ties into what we were talking about before.
The forest darkening thing.
Exactly. If protected areas become too dense,
they could hurt certain species.
The ones that need sunlight.
Right. So it's like a trade-off.
We want to protect these areas from humans, but we also want to protect biodiversity.
And sometimes those two goals clash.
It's a classic conservation dilemma.
No easy answers.
This study doesn't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
But it shows that we need to think carefully
about how we manage these protected areas.
It's not enough to just draw a line on a map
and walk away.
We need to understand how those areas have changed over time.
And how they might change in the future.
And be willing to adapt our strategies.
So we need to keep learning.
Always learning.
And be flexible.
And be open to new information.
And work together.
Absolutely. Scientists, policymakers, everyone.
We all have a role to play.
In protecting our forests.
I gotta say, this deep dive has been eye-opening.
It has been quite a journey.
I used to think forests were pretty simple.
They seem that way on the surface.
But they're so much more complex than I realized.
They're dynamic systems, constantly changing.
Shaped by both nature and humans.
It's amazing how this data from Sweden
can teach us so much about forests everywhere.
It gives us a glimpse into the past.
And helps us understand the present.
And make better decisions for the future.
Well, I think we've covered a lot today.
A century's worth of forest data.
We've talked about timber, policy, protected areas, even forest darkening.
It's been a fascinating exploration.
And I hope it's made you think a little differently about forests.
They're more than just trees.
They're complex ecosystems, essential for life on Earth.
And their future depends on us.
So let's all do our part to protect them.
For ourselves.
And for generations to come.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.
Keep exploring those forests.